Barnabas, seventh. He was the king of the Orthodox.
In the hill?
In the hill. Mm-hmm. And for all of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. for that matter. Mm-hmm. And I had an aunt that was very religious. And every now and then she would give somebody advice. What did they call it? They would come to her with a shally.
A question.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she would give them advice. When he heard about it, Zivitz heard about it, he sent a message to her and said that she should tend to her business and he would tend to his.
Oh, he was taking charge. Tell me, what kind of, do you recall any kind of social life of the Jewish community in the hill at that time?
Well, there used to be clubs, and there were Jewish actors that came to Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and Jewish operas, mm-hmm. which my father was great about that. We went to everything.
Where were they, these operas and plays and so forth? Were they in the hill?
You know, I can't remember whether they were all in the hill or whether some of them were in the downtown mm-hmm. theaters, like the Nixon.
They had Jewish shows there at the time?
I think they did. Mm-hmm. I think they did.
How about the Anna Heldman Center?
That was after.
That was later.
That okay. was later.
I just wondered if they played there.
Well, they probably did later, mm-hmm. but that's when I was busy with the yes. nursing and the medicine, and mm-hmm. My father died, and I didn't go to anything. But he used to see that we went to all those things. Mm-hmm.
So the Jewish life of the hill at that time centered around the synagogue?
I would say.
Uh-huh. Do you know what synagogue was down there? Did your parents belong?
Well, they belong. They still send me a bill.
Oh. So you belong now, too.
To Paris Israel.
Uh-huh.
And for years they had a shul. Maybe it was in a little house or someplace. Mm-hmm. And then they moved, I think, to Fulton Street. Mm-hmm. And then, as far as I'm concerned, my father helped them get a cemetery, which is still
oh, really?
Still standing. And they asked, they told me at one time to send them a check for a certain amount, and that would take care of the graves. Mm-hmm. And then the next year I got a bill again. And I wrote and asked them why I got a bill. I thought I paid for it. And they said, well, they're so poor that they have to charge it. Mm. They have to charge something. So they're still sending me a bill every year for the cemetery.
So you're really still a member.
There's no
in
show
in some
anymore,
way, yes.
But there is a cemetery.
Oh, so they take care of the cemetery,
yes.
your parents. Where is that located, do you know?
Yes, is it Millville?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. So after you went to nursing school and got your degree and worked for about 10 years, then you decided, I'm going to go to med school.
No, the 10 years were from the time I graduated nursing school mm-hmm. until I graduated medical school.
I see.
Those were the 10 years when I would work at night mm-hmm. and weekends.
So how old were you when you started to med school?
When I started to med school, I was 26.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So then you had was med school 4 years at that time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was still 4 years.
Yeah.
But you did all your intern and residency where?
See, I did my college at Pitt, and then you only went 2 years to college, though.
Oh.
And then I went to Pitt Medical School, which was 4 years. Mm-hmm. Then I went back to Montefiore mm-hmm. as an intern. Oh. And then homeopathic mm-hmm. then immediately invited me to be on their staff. Because
oh.
the two doctors that had been on that committee mm-hmm. were so embarrassed about it, what this other doctor said. Mm-hmm. So they invited me to be on the staff, mm-hmm. and I went on the staff mm-hmm. of homeopathics.
You know, I wondered what it was like for a Jewish person to get into med school at that time, because, you know, in various med schools they had quotas for Jews.
Yeah, well, they had quotas then. I think we had six boys.
mm-hmm. who were Jewish. But that didn't affect you, the quota system?
I don't know whether they counted me. There must have been seven of us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And was there, from that group, a social group? Did the Jewish students stay together, or did it make no difference?
Well, the Jewish boys stayed together. I'm always amused. Dr. Harry Miller, whom you may know,
mm-hmm.
I see him every now and then, and I talk to him, and he always says, "Did you see any of our gang?" And I say, "Yes, Francis Taylor was here." He says, "I don't mean that." He didn't want to hear about this.
I see.
This girl that wasn't Jewish.
I see.
So they stuck, and they had their own fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
But they were accepted.
Mm-hmm. Did you, were you in med school when World War I started?
No, I was in nursing school.
You were still in nursing school.
I went in when it started.
Oh. So did you participate in any way as a nurse during the war?
Well, we did all of the nursing because the graduate nurses, the RNs, all went to war.
Oh.
So we acted as supervisors because there weren't enough graduate nurses mm-hmm. To do the
war. During the war period?
Yes.
I see. So you helped out on the home front,
yes.
So to speak. Uh-huh. And when you went into med school and took the courses, were you interested in something special? Was there something that you leaned toward?
Obstetrics and pediatrics. Mm-hmm.
And pediatrics. Mm-hmm. And is that the area you continued?
Well, you see, when I went to Montefiore as an intern, mm-hmm. I thought that you spent 1 year in general work as an intern, and then you went in to the outpatient department in your specialty.
Oh.
But they said no to me,
mm-hmm.
that you have to spend 2 years in general work. And then the next year...
The third year.
No, everybody had to spend 1 year before they went into a specialty.
I see.
But after I finished my first year, they said, no, I had to do another year. This mm-hmm. was at Montefiore. So the next year, one of the Jewish boys got that residency, and I didn't get it. So I left Montefiore again.
Oh. You really had a time with Montefiore.
Yeah.
In the middle of your medical education, you left Montefiore?
No, in the middle of my internship. Internship.
I see. That's when you went back to homeopathic?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And did they do it differently there for you?
I learned a lot. In those days, they didn't do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You knew when you went there that the sons were going to get the appointments.
Ah, I see.
So you did the work. You did the.
So the expectation
the clinic,
was,
but there was no expectation.
I see.
Of being in.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it more accepting when you went back to homeopathic than it was initially?
Oh yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you work with some people that have become prominent in the field?
In any field?
In the medical field.
I worked with Jonas Salk. I worked with
you
Ben.
You did.
With Ben Spa.
Mm-hmm. At Shadyside or homeopathic?
At the health department.
Ah, okay. So you got to know. But at the homeopathic hospital, were there doctors that taught you that you remember?
Oh, I remember we had very excellent surgeons.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the names of some of these?
Of the surgeons?
At that time?
Yes, I remember. I remember most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Morris.
Dr. Fred Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. William Stewart. Dr. I can
Tattles.
See them.
Tattles.
The Tattles and the Truders.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
Truders. the Tuttles and the Truders. Mm-hmm. They were all my friends, but one interesting thing, I was never in the home of a homeopathic or shady side physician except Dr. Morris. Mm-hmm. No, doctor. You're a doctor.
Dr. Cooper.
Cooper. Dr. Cooper, who was head of everything at homeopathic mm-hmm. these days and now retiring. I was in his home for dinner. I took care of his family while he was in the service.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the other doctors were concerned, they were all very nice to me. When I needed help of any kind, mm-hmm. consultation, they were right there mm-hmm. to give it. But I was never invited into their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I figure is probably because I never invited them.
Oh. Yeah, but that's how you account for
yeah.
the lack of socialization.
Yeah.
Did you socialize with any of the other medical staff?
Only with Dr. Cooper mm-hmm. and with a woman doctor that was there,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Anna Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Was she in your field?
She was in family practice.
I see.
And she was an old-fashioned lady.
Mm-hmm. You obviously liked her.
I liked her.
Mm-hmm. And she liked you.
And she liked me.
Good. So you had a good relationship.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I just wondered how women doctors were accepted by patients at that time. Because that was a novelty, I would imagine.
Yes, I never had any difficulty about that.
No.
I remember one woman saying to me that, I wish my husband would want you for a doctorate
mm-hmm.
when I was in family practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, well, don't worry about it. So about a week later, he came to the office straight from work.
Oh.
He said, I'm so sick and I thought you could do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had any trouble being accepted.
You didn't? By the patients? But even men patients
yes,
were accepting?
Yes, men patients.
Uh-huh. Because it was such a new phenomenon.
Yeah, in fact, I kept a letter that I got from a patient when he paid his bill. Mr. Burns,
uh-huh.
He said, he just thanked me. He just couldn't thank me enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if he ever needed a doctor again, mm-hmm. he would surely call.
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's interesting. Because even today, Dr. Marcus, there are people who won't go to a woman doctor.
Oh, I know.
So I just wondered way back. What years were you in intern? Did you in
19,
residency?
29, 30.
Mm-hmm. During the Great Depression.
And depression.
When I opened my office, nobody had any money.
Uh-huh.
Nobody could fill a prescription.
Did you stop at Shadyside to open your office?
I opened my office in Bloomfield,
uh-huh.
Where the Mellon Bank now has that
mm-hmm.
big building. Well, there were little apartments
mm-hmm.
there, and they remodeled one for me for an office.
This was after your residency, I presume.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Was this what you had wanted to do, to open
yes.
your own office?
Yes.
Was the Shadyside, or when did homeopathic become Shadyside?
In 1935,
I think. So it was still homeopathic.
I was in practice 5 years before.
Uh-huh. Do you know why they changed the name?
Well, they were no longer interested in homeopathy.
I see. I see. So they changed it to Shadyside. Uh-huh. And how did you decide for Bloomfield?
Well, Bloomfield was between St. Francis Hospital, Homeopathic Hospital, West Penn,
mm-hmm.
and where I lived.
Now, you were accepted in all those three hospitals for practice to send patients?
Nobody was accepted in the hospital unless they were on the staff.
Uh-huh.
For instance, a person was hurt in an accident and taken to Mercy, you couldn't treat them. And that was true of all of hospitals.
So you were not, were you on the staff of these hospitals?
I was on the staff only of
Shadyside. I see.
In later years, I was on the staff of many hospitals because of the work I did. I was on St. John's and Allegheny General. Allegheny General has taken over this, the health center that I started. But that comes later.
Yeah, I'll make a start.
Tell me, when you went into private practice, what was your specialty, or what did you do? General practice.
General practice.
Uh-huh.
And I know now, when the kids start in practice, they spend tons of money on furnishing an office, and they wonder where the patients are going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
I just stuck my name out.
Oh, really?
Outside of the door, and the patients came.
Uh-huh. So you really didn't do any advertising?
Oh, no.
I thought maybe you chose Bloomfield because you knew there was a need there for physicians.
Oh, there was a need, but wherever you would go at that time, nobody had any money.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, I had met a woman at Montefiore, I guess, when I was there, whose brother was the business agent of the electrical union.
Wow.
And we became friends, and they came over one night. We used to play cards once a week, and they came over and said, and her brother said, gee, it's awful. One of our members has a sick kid, and he couldn't get a doctor because he has no money to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why didn't you call me? I would have gone over.
Mm-hmm.
It was a case on the south side. He said, would you do that? And I said, of course I'd do it. He said, well, you know what? I'll give you a retainer if you take care of any of our people that need a doctor.
Oh, no. From the union.
From the union. They only mm-hmm. have 1,000 families.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So I had patients from them, of course. I encouraged them all after the war to go back to their own doctors, but after the war, after the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
But
how did they pay you during the Depression?
They didn't.
Oh.
My sister's son looked at a book. Somebody gave me a diary for a graduation present.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at it. I kept my books in there. And he said, how did you eat? I said, well, we didn't eat as good as we eat now.
I see. They didn't bring things for you to eat instead of money, huh? No. Uh-huh. So you really got started through this union group. You had patients
from them.
Well,
I had patients from the union group, but I had patients from Bloomfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of, at that time, and I guess still, it's full of Italian families.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an Italian doctor there, and he always used to say to me, don't worry about them. They have a lot of money under the mattress.
Oh, my. What was it like to practice then? Did you do most of your practice in the office, outside of the office? What was it like?
You made house calls,
mm-hmm.
and you would be called out at night. And,
mm-hmm.
Of course, if the call was in Bloomfield, I just walked, mm-hmm. walked to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know any better, so we made a house call.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice. You knew the family. If you made house calls, you knew where they lived and how they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a much closer relationship.
Yes, that's interesting, because you really could get a little closer and they feel closer with you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you became almost like a family physician for them.
Them, yeah.
Whoever was ill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you eventually start to specialize in anything?
I did. 17 years later, I went into public health. Mm-hmm. But, and then I stayed in public health, I guess, for almost 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went in, and at that time I worked with Spock for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
when he worked over at the arsenal. And then...
what about the arsenal?
Yeah, the, that's where I'm getting to.
Mm-hmm.
In 1963,
mm-hmm.
I was with the health department, and the dean of the medical school, Dr. McElroy, and the head of the health department, Dr. Alexander, and Mayor David Lawrence.
Oh, he was here then.
Yeah. They asked me to take charge of the program at the Arsenal Health Center.
Mm-hmm.
So there we developed a program where we taught students mostly how to take care of well children.
Oh.
Taught the mothers about good care for
mm-hmm.
well children, and that lasted for 5 years. And in 1961.
Mm-hmm.
In 1963, the university was going to pull the students out, and I didn't care for it if they were going to not have students. So I...
From the arsenal. They were pulling the students out of the arsenal.
They wouldn't give them the time to come to the arsenal. Well, all my life, when I was a nurse and when I was a kid, I always was interested in Lillian, New York, Lillian Hellman.
Oh, yes.
Lillian Hellman, and in, I won't think of her name, in Chicago. I always thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a health center
mm-hmm.
where people could come for everything? So I talked it over with the woman at the Health and Welfare Department, and she helped me write a request to the Public Health Service for financial support of such a program. Mm.
For children?
For families.
Families.
Mm-hmm. And... And they accepted, they answered the request, but they said they have to make it, give it through an agency. They couldn't give it to an individual. So they would, if the medical society, Allegheny Medical Society, was willing to take that on, that they could send it through them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, or I started, really, the health center in Northview Heights.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You were the pioneer.
Yes, and not only the pioneer there, but a lot of people talked about health centers in the country,
mm-hmm.
but nobody ever got started on one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got started, and we had... A nurse who made house calls on the patients. We had a nurse who did the laboratory work. She would go to the patients, these elderly patients,
mm-hmm.
and do cardiograms and take urine specimens.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a receptionist, of course. We had... a cardiac consultation, and we had psychiatric consultation. We had the whole complex. And it was a very good program, and they had given us enough money for 3 years.
And you were directing it?
Yeah. And at the end of the 3 years, I happened to get sick with a cervical disc problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so Allegheny General sent a doctor in this period to see what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was sick for a long time, and it was it was 1966 and the grant was up. Oh. So Allegheny General took the program over, and it's still going. Mm-hmm. The same nurse is still up there that worked for me. And the program still goes on. I think it's the only one in the country where they started something like that and it still goes on. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the doctors at Pitt said to me, "You must have done something up there because mine has closed long ago." He had wanted to start one like it, and it didn't work.
Tell me, with the arsenal, there's an arsenal in East Liberty, too.
Now, the arsenal's at 40th and Penn.
40th and Penn, it's right. At 40th right. That's and the one Penn. I'm thinking of.
And it's now called the Clack Health Center because Clack was a very fine veterinarian that worked there. He worked for me when I was there, and then later they appointed him in charge.
Mm-hmm. You say he was a veterinarian?
Yes. He was a veterinarian, and he knew more about medicine than most doctors.
Uh-huh. were you the only doctor? As the director, were you the only doctor?
No, then I had doctors. I had pediatricians, maybe a dozen that did the baby clinics. Mm-hmm. And I had sanitarians that did the work the sanitarians do for the health department.
I had the Council of Jewish Women.
Oh, yeah. I better not forget them. And the Council of Jewish Women were my volunteers.
Oh.
And they were wonderful.
What did they do as volunteers?
Well, they brought the patients, brought the families in.
From their homes?
No, they brought them in. They were in the reception room.
I see.
And they received them, and they saw that they got to the right doctor.
Mm-hmm.
When I said we had the medical students, the junior medical students were allowed to come over one day in 6 weeks. One day every 6 weeks.
I see.
And they would follow a family.
Oh.
And so the ladies from the council would see that the right family got to the right doctor, and that's where Spock was.
Ah.
And in fact, I should tell you that just before Spock came, I had worked this program out with, can't think of his name, the head of Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had the meeting to decide what to do, this doctor, why can't I think of his name? This doctor said, "Well, let Florence Marcus say what to do. I gave her the program."
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to give it to Spock." So that's how we got that thing started.
So you started the various clinics and acquired the doctors who were to head them?
Mm-hmm.
I see. And the nursing staff came from?
Well, then we had a nursing staff. You know, we had a group of public health nurses.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nurse in charge. She just died recently. Mm-hmm. And then the visiting nurses, which is another group, they needed space. So the city rented them space for their offices.
Oh.
So the two head nurses decided that it would be a good idea if they had a united program. So then we had all of the nurses doing the same thing. Before that, the public health nurses only did tuberculosis and infectious diseases, while the visiting nurse did the family work. So now they put them together, and every nurse had responsibility for what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there particular medical problems that were more prominent then than are today?
The problems with the babies that are underweight and that die, mm-hmm. and the mothers that don't get proper care. We were on the way to licking that, or at least starting on it, when they quit, and now they're talking about it as if nobody ever heard mm-hmm. of it before.
Are you talking about prenatal care?
Yeah, I'm talking mm-hmm. about prenatal care. So we were arranging that instead of everybody having to go to McGee, if they lived in our districts, we would have a clinic there, and they wouldn't have to travel so right. far. But we would arrange with the hospitals to transfer the records. Mm-hmm. And we had started that program. I don't know what happened when I left, mm-hmm. because now they talk about it as if they never had a program.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But that must have been quite a service.
And that was quite a service.
Yes.
That really was quite a service.
Mm-hmm. When did you go to Alaska? In what period?
I haven't gone yet.
No, we're still back here. We got a lot.
Harvard.
I left that out.
Yeah, that's all right. Was that during your training?
When I left family practice, mm-hmm. I decided.
When did you leave?
In 1947. Mm-hmm. I told you I need my sister because she remembers my life more than I do.
You're doing very well, and she's a good prompter.
1947, I gave up public health. No, I gave up practice, mm-hmm. and I went to Harvard mm-hmm. to take up public health.
Oh.
So I took a year at Harvard. Mm-hmm.